Thanks for coming. Thanks for having me. I'm still relatively new to Pittsburgh. I've been here for almost 2 years. This is my first time in this space, and I'm pleased to be here. This is my book. It actually just came out. It's Beautiful Nerve. I have my glasses on because it's really small and it's hard to read. I don't have any for sale, unfortunately. There's been a delay in getting them, but I do have cards up here that will point you there. Okay. Perquisite. It was me who stole your wallet at the fair, lifted plastic and cash, placed your kids' pictures under a state magnet on my fridge. I've never been to Arkansas and have no qualms about this. Those antique glass doorknobs you've been keeping for safekeeping in the third drawer down behind your passport, I hold them up to my eyes as spectacles. Every morning the world looks clear and equally swag. I took your words, too. Your an entire story about to be told, your tiny worlds drawn up and down, your you are now a crescent, you are now a moon. I need them. Such things have great sentimental value to me, whereas I gather to you they do not. I hold them in the dark and rotate them between my fingers. They have moved through the prescribed stages of grief and are now wholly at peace. Does knowing this bring you peace? They announce their pleasures willingly, believe themselves to be home. And you? You abandon, I tell them, feeding them hot tea with sugared cream and stroking their fontanelles. And isn't it so? 3 days a week at most, you combed the streets, posted flyers, asked around the populace. You lost faith. We don't want your sour identity, your tentative love. If I ever see you again, I will thrill to take your small rhinestone purse, your list of lamentable song titles, your certain penchants, your box of sit back and enjoy yourself, your therefore defending your heart as well as you can. Self-portrait as remorseless insistence. It's like you're swimming with fins on, farther but not faster. The current turned to catch you in its restless X. The old women, pink and ruthless, crossing the slim width of the pool. People say stupid things and then move on to say other stupid things. It's okay. For every one rotten comment, there's the morning, the porch, no birds at the wire cage. It's wrong, and you know it. Know everything will sway, given the possibility. Dump your doctor. She who called forth your children from any inkling of future loneliness, who said, sometimes we must make concessions depending on what we might want. Wait. Why not imagine the months adding up to a sum greater than all this dogma? Or forsythia, bursting slow, bloom by perfect nervous bloom. Birds or no birds, what you need is a poem that goes on and on here and now. Poem that begins as mercy and assertion and ends swept and thrumming, body close, inside the fleshy crook of inclusion. Thank you. We were talking about hecklers earlier. Hecklers. And this one, my son is almost 10, and he heckled me the last poetry reading I did in State College, Pennsylvania, and he heckled me in the middle of this poem, and it's because he recognized himself in it, but I didn't think he was listening. He was. This weather. As if there was something other than this weather, ice-heavy branches bent beneath a purposeful weight. As if there was something other than fright, this heavy-handed strangeness. The child who weighs near 18 pounds today did not begin this way. No, no, then slim and wispy and slight, unaware of how you spun, split yourself, spiraled into a vision of him years out, old, older, now but a wisp of skin and hair and nails. Nothing, nothing. In the series finale of your favorite cable television drama, a young woman with insistent red hair drives away. Away from her crazy, beloved family and toward a bright, heavy life. Drives a heavy family away, heaves a family finale. Toward and away from now, which feels as much like place as time. Your body, its milky topography, with no map key in the bottom left-hand corner. The woman, a bright stranger on the television. The child, a heaving stranger in your arms. For 2 weeks now, dull ache, shut drapes, rocking, rocking, rock-hard breasts in a hot shower, hoarse voice in a hot shower, voice singing in a darkened room, voice brightening, awakening, pushing you down. In the series finale, everyone dies in their own time, and you hand your child, whom you do love, but inarticulately yet, to your husband, and you weep for 5.5 hours. You know you will drown amid these strange, bright fluids. You will all bend beneath this sweet, frightful weight.
Thanks. I actually just have two more poems, and I'll just say about this next one, there's a whole section of poems in this book that are derived from dreams, and this is one of them. I've always been one of those people that had really terrific dream recall, and I'm also one of those people that always thinks people want to hear about my dreams, which is up for debate. But so this is one of those poems, and it's called Bears. One. The children watch TV in the back room, under a low roof, under which no adult can stand. Their eyeballs flicker in small, round rows. Everything glows. The children sit watching, the TV black and white, soundless. Something with guns, something with long, dust-filled landscapes, dry shrubs, dusty clouds blown around their eyes. These are not my dust bunnies, you think, watchful of the clock. The kids are too many, and you are not yet promised to anyone. The bears are also too many, 3, as if this were a story, and they enter under your watch, lumber in from winter slumber, head on back. You are past. You are not to be counted among. You climb the stairs, thighs thick and animal heavy, glance backward at the back room, at the many, at the hair, the muscle, jaws moving toward. 2. Upstairs, your father lies on his bed, fingers the clicker, seams elsewhere. The dust bunnies, you tell him. The bears, you yawn. They amass on the stairs. They mount your fears. TV on in 2 rooms and eyeballs flicker like small stars under a story sky. You lock yourself in your child room, blue shag carpet and mattress ticking walls, palm mahogany poster bed, glass top dresser on which opals broke in winter's cold. Pass me by, you beg. I am not at hand. 3. Your father hears your screams and rattles the door. The bears hear your screams and rattle the door. You open the door to the closet to find the window still there. The shade is drawn, and this is the wrong room. This is not the window that overlooked the street, the fire in the gutter, the sledders down that icy boulevard. This is not the night the woman held her small son over her head as they crashed, her leg a good break into the dark oak. You were kept inside. Your father was supposed to be the hero in this story. The kids in the back room watch TV, and the bears, heavy, descend.
Okay.
All right, this is the last one. Thanks again. It's your obsession with bears and pregnancy and the plots of your own dreams that bore those around you practically to tears. It's your obsession with bears and pregnancy and the plots of your own dreams that bore those around you practically to tears, though they are too kind or occupied to say so to your face. It's your reliance on the easily gotten, the universal, the widely accepted, and perfectly explainable in the world that confounds those around you who expect more from someone with so much time on her hands. Have you finished reading that fat book we assigned you about the sparkling dynastic lineage yet? It's your inability to manipulate the steam furnace valve, rusted and out of reach though it may be, that forces your father into saying harsh things to you under the stucco archway as he enters the house. Yes, it does cut your elbow as you pass. It's your remorseless insistence on free verse that, we're sorry, makes this manuscript unsuitable for publication at this time. It's your preoccupation with corporal rhythms, with sleep and wake cycles, feeding and elimination schedules, whether or not an eye can track an object past the midline of the body that propels us away from you and back to our smart talk, our dog-eared copy, and our notebook on the bus. It's your naive expectation that your father, upon seeing the charred remains of the car in the driveway, its wheels melded to asphalt, the vinyl siding sliding like pudding into a chemical pool, would say something other than, "Look what you did to my house." It's your penchant for feckless musing that infuriates those around you who have placed wagers, that's good money, cold hard cash, on whether or not you will finally complete your grieving, help your husband to melt the photos of your old boyfriend in the microwave and move on. Don't you know how much this has hurt him? Don't you know how much this has hurt all men? It's your absolute refusal to see anything beyond the fact of patchy dry skin and relentless nail growth, beyond milky fluids and all the mundane details, that causes us to call into question your commitment to your art. It's your belief that art is like skin and nails, which is to say, both fluid and relentless, that eliminates you as a serious contender for the part we once thought you perfectly suited to play. Thank you.